Hi everyone, this is Rebecca speaking and this is another special podcast episode. So it's not related to any mathematical teaching, but it's a podcast episode that it's based on that is based on a workshop that I did mainly for the research training, what's it called? Graduate school, for BEAM. So it was for the, what's it called? Research training group, Graduiertenkolleg. Anyway, this is going to be a mixture of English and German anyway, I think, because my notes are mixed. I'm going to explain in a second. So sorry, this was a bit chaotic. So it's a podcast episode based on a workshop that we did in a group of people, and the idea came from the Graduiertenkolleg, because we wanted to talk about the topics, failure, falling down, things go wrong, how do you cope, what do? How do you learn from situations where you fell down and things didn't go as planned? And we had the workshop today and people wanted to have a podcast episode, so I offered, and then they said yes, that's a good idea, for them to listen in and maybe to reflect again on some topics, but also for those who couldn't come but who are interested in the topic. And this is also why we do it in English now, although a part of the workshop was in German, because everyone who was there was German speaking, and then we found it easier sometimes when it went really into details to talk about our feelings in German or to express very complicated thoughts in German. This is also why my notes are mixed and why I will probably confuse myself tremendously halfway through. Let's see. So the topic of the workshop, or the title, you will hear me with my notes sometimes. Sorry, I hope it's not too loud. So the title was How to Get Up After Falling Down. And I will just read what I wrote as motivation for this workshop. What do we do when things go wrong? How do we respond when we fail or when we have bad luck? Even BEAM failed the first time. So this is a story I didn't tell today, but I can tell it now. So when Dario Schinderberger applied for the BEAM Graduiertenkolleg the first time, the Vorantrag, so the first version of the proposal, did not get accepted and it was criticized. And I think what he did is really exemplary for a learning experience that comes from failure, because he asked as many questions as he could towards understanding what the criticism was about. So he talked about the criticism, he asked other people for advice, and he really worked through all his ideas again, made them stronger, made them better, made them more consistent, changed some things, some substantial things actually. And then he wrote a new proposal, again in a team with some other people, and it was much better, much stronger, and we criticized ourselves a lot. So we thought about things that reviewers might look at. We thought about questions they might ask. And then the proposal was much stronger. We got accepted in the first round. We were allowed to go to the second round. And then everything went really smoothly and people really loved our proposal for the Graduiertenkolleg. So this is an example where a failure, and actually quite a substantial failure, because Darius spent a lot of time writing this proposal. It was a lot of effort for him and for other people, but mainly for him, I think. And instead of saying, oh, my ego is hurt, oh, they are stupid, oh, they don't understand my idea, no, he took the criticism and he made the proposal better, much better. So it was a big learning experience, a big step forward for him and also for other people who were involved, which I think is a great experience that can stem from failure. So for me, this is really a great example how failure can lead to something really good. So now this was the BEAM story, and this was also my motivation for the last question. What if every experience of failure could become an opportunity to learn and grow? And this is also how we ended today's workshop, with this perspective on failure. So there were other things in the announcement, like a nice Bruce Lee quote that I really like, and I asked people some questions before we met, so I will just give you the questions, or roughly what I asked. So first of all, I wanted the participants to think about associations that they have with the phrase falling down. So I wanted them to think about experiences they had, some memories, maybe some stories that are typical for them when they have feelings of failure or bad luck or just things they associate with falling down. And also I wanted them to think about the intention they have. So why is this workshop relevant? Why is it interesting? What are your expectations? What do you want to discuss? What would you like to learn? How would you like to change during these few hours of the workshop? That's what I asked people to think about beforehand. And then we have been a really nice group of 8 people all together. So really a nice frame, a nice size of group to really go into intense discussions, which we did. So it was amazing how after just a few minutes, we have already been really deep, deep in the middle of things. And I took extensive notes because, as I said, I offered to do a podcast episode. And when people said yes, that was my sign that I should take really, really detailed notes. And they are in English now because we started in English and then at some point we switched to German. My notes will be German and everything is going to be messed up. I'm sorry. So first of all, I asked people to just sit in a big round and to write on a card the associations they have when it comes to things like failure or falling down. And then they were supposed to write in quite big letters. So when they hold it up, everyone can see. So that was our way of sharing. We didn't all talk a lot, but we just shared what we had written down. And then people could write down additional notes if something resonated with them. So let me just collect some things that came up. So some people associated falling down with, what do I do after that? So how do I get up? What do I do? How can I free myself from the feeling of failure? Some others wrote down emotions that they feel when they fell down, for example, disappointment or sadness. Some people wrote things like, failure is unacceptable. I cannot accept that I might fail. I cannot accept this feeling. Failing means that I gave up or that I give up. I don't know what to do next. It means that I have no courage anymore. Maybe I even give up my social life because I fell down so badly that I really don't know what to do next. And it means that I lost all hope. And then I don't want to meet friends. And I might even get into some kind of downward spiral from there. So lots of associations, many of them very, very negative. And this was just the first round, just to set up how do I feel, what associations come up when I hear things like failure or falling down. And then the next round was to introduce ourselves and to talk about our intention and our expectation. So I wanted people to just briefly recollect what came up when I asked this question in the email beforehand. Remind ourselves, why are we here? What do we want to learn? Why is this topic relevant for us? And there were many, many things coming up. So some people said, every time I experience failure, I feel very disappointed in myself and I want to learn how I can cope with this feeling and maybe turn it into something productive. Some people also said that somehow the way we live as scientists, the work we do, is connected to failure very much. So basically, in particular, if you do experimental work, but also I can tell you, if you try to prove mathematical results, there is a lot of kind of built-in failure. There are many situations where your first idea doesn't work, so you need to be able to deal with failure and not to give up every time something doesn't work. And since it is built in our profession and also in many others, we need to build some resilience. We need to build up some strategies how we can cope with it and not be discouraged every time so much that we give up and don't have any energy left. Now, some people said when things don't go as planned, even if it's not really a feeling of failure, but just things don't go as planned, I would like to go into a place where I can have some productive thinking rather than just putting myself down. Then there was a lot about expectations, my own expectations, other people's expectations, or maybe what I think that other people expect of me. So this could also be something that I want to work on. How do I cope with this feeling that I disappoint myself or others? How can I avoid going into a downward spiral, maybe in such a way that it affects my mental health? So people who argued in this way said that they are worried about how failure and feelings of failure can affect their mental health, and therefore they wanted to have something like a toolbox, how to cope with it better and in a more healthy way. Then we also tried to differentiate between objective failure, like something did not work as planned and it's a fact, or maybe just the subjective feeling of failure, and it could be something like, I think I didn't try hard enough, or maybe I did not work hard enough, and maybe you are the only person who feels this way and everyone else says, oh, actually, no, it's fine, you tried everything you could, you did work hard enough. So differentiating between objective things and subjective things was also something that people expected to get better at, maybe, with this workshop. And there were questions like, well, I would like to talk about failure, yes, but I also want to talk about how to learn from it, how to deal with it, how to cope with it, how to get better at just accepting it as part of my life and move on and do something productive with it so it doesn't hold me back. Also, we talked about how to differentiate between failure experiences that we take personally somehow or not. So again, subjective, objective, taking things personally or not. How does my ego get involved? Does it? And if it does, how much and where? We talked about perspective change a lot. So there were quite really nice questions and also comments on how doing a workshop like this might help us to just gain different perspectives on the topic of failure. So it can have something to do with ourselves, our personal experience as compared to other people and what they think. It can have something to do with a professional versus personal. It can have to do with perceived failure or objective failure that can be kind of stated as a fact. We talked about sort of finding out early enough that failure is coming, or maybe is a possibility, or maybe is about to happen, or is just happening. So maybe sometimes if we recognize it early enough, we can do something about the consequences and make them milder and learn from it in a better way. And also we talked about things like triggers. So how do I recognize that it's enough and that I'm really just going in the wrong direction and all the failure that I experience and all the falling down is a sign that I'm actually on the wrong track somehow? So how do I recognize this, and then what do I do? Lots of stuff, and that was just the first round. So I encouraged all of us to take a moment and to think about the rest of the workshop in the following way, because this is also one of the coping strategies for feelings of failure and not being enough, not being good enough, not being successful enough. I want to encourage us all to explore the space between input and response. So if something happens, if you feel an emotion, or if someone criticizes you, or if something doesn't work as planned, instead of responding or reacting immediately, let's take a tiny moment and explore the pause and create some space, because in the space there is the possibility to choose how we want to respond, and it can make a huge difference. So some of us have kind of reflexes that immediately kick in, for example, if someone criticizes us or something doesn't go as planned. Maybe we reject the criticism, maybe we apologize, maybe we feel bad immediately, maybe we blame others, maybe, you know, lots of things. We don't have to act in this way. There is a choice. We can take a breath, explore the tiny space between what happens to us and our response, and decide to do something else than usually. And in this workshop, we created a lot of space for us to explore various responses and just notice how we feel. So this is encouragement for the whole time, also now when you're listening and maybe taking notes and observing how you feel. Then we took a moment to work in small groups. So I asked people to remember stories, failure stories, stories where they fell down, where they had bad luck maybe, or something else, just something that came up when they read my question in the email, just associations with falling down, because most of us have some stories, some experiences, maybe something that happened to us or something that happened to others. And I ask people to share them in a small group and then extract the essence. What is the most important bit about this story? Is it about a thing that happened? Is it about an emotion? Is it about something someone said? Is it about your reaction? Is it a learning experience? What is it? So extract that in one sentence. That was my task. Write it on a card. And then later we wanted to meet again to share what was on the cards. So people took 10, 15 minutes just to share. They could help each other to sort of differentiate between the different aspects of their stories and to find out what the most meaningful thing is in this experience and to extract that in one clear, compact statement. It was very interesting what came out of this, because I think what I was expecting from earlier workshops where I sometimes did similar things, I thought that people would take the story or the experience and try to collect this experience in basically one sentence. Something like, blah, 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 this happened. But that was not really what they did. They did something else, and it actually brought us deeper into the conversation. So I appreciated this a lot. Let me see how I can share what people said. Ooh, okay, it's difficult. Let's see. So I try and translate my German notes, and also I try to do it in a way such that the people cannot be recognized. Let's see. So there was a feeling of falling down, not because of a decision that was made, but because of a decision that was not made. It was ignored or postponed, and that became a problem later. Very interesting. Then there was a sentence that was about pressure, about the feeling of not having enough energy to ask someone for help, although it would be necessary. And then the feeling of failure and the depression and the bad feelings took much longer, so it was much harder to get out of it. Then someone wrote something about being open about issues and about conflicts and actually accept help when it is offered. So even if you're not ready to ask for it, at least you can notice if someone offers help and then maybe accept it and benefit from it. Someone phrased the sentence around uncertainty, unclarity, going down a rabbit hole in your brain, and then you make up stories and you fantasize about all the bad things that can happen or that could happen or that have happened or that might have happened in a different past, or you know what. Lots and lots and lots of stories just around possibilities, and it's not always fruitful. So this is not necessarily fruitful thinking, constructive thinking that gets you further. Useful reflection, so to speak, but it could be just going down a rabbit hole and then you get lost. And you basically just drool in your, is that the right word? You're stuck in your thoughts and you go round in circles and everything is just getting worse and more complicated and you don't really go anywhere new. You don't learn anything new. So this can easily happen. Some of us had this experience actually. And then it means that you get stuck in this feeling of failure and you can't move away from it. Several people had phrases that included things like the feeling of failure is about failing with expectations that I have for myself or maybe that other people have for me, or perceived expectations of other people towards me. Maybe they are not even real. Maybe they are imagined. Maybe they are unrealistic. So when have I ever done enough? So for some people that was an issue, something that goes towards perfectionism. Very interesting as well. With this going down a rabbit hole, it can also happen that somehow you get stuck in the past rather than being present and thinking about what is happening now and what you can do to change the situation. Several people had experiences of being kind of numb and frozen, and somehow you feel like you can't move just because the situation is so complex and this feeling of failure is so overwhelming that you basically freeze and you can't do anything. You can't really think, you can't really respond, you can't really clarify the situation. So instead of learning something from it, the experience is just numbing you, and then you sit there and you can't do anything for a while at least. Expectations are a topic that is recurring in this workshop. It was mentioned here as well. High expectations. If you were raised with high expectations for some reason, maybe your parents, your siblings, I don't know, in school, it's possible to grow out of this and to find your own mindset, but it's not easy, and sometimes you don't even realize that what you think about yourself and how you judge yourself is rooted in, for example, your childhood and the expectations of other people and not so much your own. So, as I said, this topic will come back, but here in the sentences we had this topic, it was present in terms of I find it hard to differentiate what my expectations mean and to move away from high and unrealistic expectations. And it's understandable that this can lead to a feeling of failure, and this was the extract of some stories that had to do with experiences of failure or falling down. So I wanted to give a bit of space here to make notes and to maybe reflect on things that have been resonant with what other people said. I also wanted to invite people to ask questions at this point before we go and have maybe another break. The first break, actually, yes, this was the first break. So one question that we discussed briefly was even if I know that I should reflect on experiences of failure and what I can learn, even then, how do I do it? How do I find the time and the focus if my life is very busy and I'm very stressed? And we agreed that it's not only about time and focus and creating opportunities to do it, but it's also about, in the moment, being really open to this experience, which means that you must have the ability to reflect, and all of us have this, the way we were discussing there, but it also means openness towards yourself and your feelings and a kind of openness and kindness with yourself, because only then can you be honest with yourself in your inner dialogue. So somehow we had a bundle of things that are necessary. You need to find the time. Then in this moment, you need to have the focus and the energy to be able to think about these things. If you just have time but you're tired, then maybe you don't go very far. And then in this moment, you need something like a prompt, maybe. So maybe you have a list of things you noted, or maybe you sit down and you ask yourself one or two questions to pull up memories of things you want to think about. Or maybe it's a conversation with someone, maybe it's journaling, lots of possibilities. But somehow there needs to be time, energy, focus, the ability to think, the willingness to think, to reflect, to go deep into your feelings, and then analyze the situation with a certain amount of kindness. So I suggested, just because it works for me, I suggested to start such an inner dialogue when I begin to reflect on something that bothers me, to begin this dialogue with thank you. Because if we struggle and if we have a bad experience, or if we feel bad in some way, so if there are emotions that we tag as negative or difficult, then if I want to take a learning experience from them, then I need to feel the feeling and name it and accept that it's there. And it helps me to say, thank you. Thank you for telling me with this feeling that something is going on, something is not okay, and I need to think about it and work through this feeling and learn something. And then I can go out on the other side of it and I will have changed a little bit. And maybe next time I can deal with the situation a little bit differently. So appreciating what is going on, appreciating the experience, even though it's not very pleasant maybe, can be a first step. So we can start such a reflection session with prompts, and then if something comes up and we feel overwhelmed, then we can say, okay, thank you, all these feelings show me that something is going on. So it's good that I recognize this, and now I can start my analysis. I can put names to the feelings and try to sort things out slowly. More on that later. We talked about how we can maybe have rituals that help us to take time and reflect on things. We talked about the importance of being kind with ourselves and patient, because if I try to establish a ritual, for example, journaling every day, and it doesn't work immediately, then I shouldn't just drop it. I should say, it's okay, you've done it for 3 days now, and then you didn't do it on the fourth day. That's not the end of the world. Just start again. And then maybe next time you can do it for 4 or 5 consecutive days, or maybe for a week. And even if you have been journaling for years and you miss a day, so what? You missed a day. Just keep going the next day. It's not, as I said, it's not the end of the world. With a new habit, we shouldn't expect everything to work immediately and smoothly, but it has to build up, and we should always start small, and we should be kind and patient. Also, when we start thinking about a situation of failure and we want to analyze it and we get stuck at some point, it's fine to leave it there for a moment and to say, okay, maybe I have to sleep on it, and maybe next time I will have a new insight. It's okay to leave it as it is. In German, this would be, ich lasse das jetzt so. It doesn't have to be perfect right away. We don't have to analyze everything perfectly right away. We had a break, and then we had a little game that we played where we went round and we completed sentences. So the sentences that I asked people to complete were the following. When I make a mistake, then. When someone criticizes me, then. If I fail at something that I tried, then. I invite you to come up with more sentences of this kind and complete them for yourself. And I ask you to do it quickly and spontaneously. Don't think about a clever answer, a surprising answer, an original answer. You know, it's not about that. It's about asking yourself, how do I complete the sentence from my intuition without thinking about it for a long time? Because maybe the answer will surprise you. So we actually had cases where people immediately said things like, oh, blah, 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 if this happens, then I apologize. And then we were wondering, okay, why is this person apologizing in so many situations? And sometimes it doesn't even really make sense. So by completing sentences like this, you might find out that in some social situations, you have something like a default reaction you do, that is automatic and that you have never thought about. And if it's a healthy reflex and you're fine with it, okay, but maybe it's not. Maybe it's a bit unusual or weird, or maybe it makes you feel bad afterwards and you wish you could react differently. And then why not take some time to reflect, and maybe you can change your default. So I wanted to encourage people to get closer to what failure means to them, and sometimes by speaking to our intuition and by activating system one, the fast thinking where we don't analyze everything but we use reflexes, can be a way to become honest with ourselves and to go away from clichés or things we have learned in childhood or expectations, and we can phrase things that feel true to us very personally. Because what I wanted people to do next was find their personal definition of failure. So I wanted them to, and this is why associations can be helpful, because then maybe when you try to write a sentence like, for me personally, failure means that, or personally, I feel that I fail if. Completing such a sentence means that since it's personal, the answer or the sentence has to be true for you. And it doesn't matter what anyone else says. So the sentences can be very different. The definitions can be very different from person to person. It's only important that if you hear the word failure, or if you experience something that you classify as failure, then you know what you talk about. It's really just that. What does the word mean to you? Because then we can talk about coping strategies and we use the right angle. If we talk about an abstract definition of failure, and abstract coping mechanisms that don't have anything to do with your personal definition, then it's maybe not very helpful. So understanding what failure means to you, what falling down means for you, what bad luck means to you, is crucial. I think it's the very first step. So again, we met in little groups, and again, we talked a bit, and we helped each other defining, and then we shared our definitions. And that was really, really interesting. I wonder whether I should share some of the complete sentences from before. Maybe I should. Okay, let's go back. Let's go to the sentences that people were supposed to complete spontaneously. So with the mistakes, lots of people said things like, if I made a mistake, then I apologize. Maybe I correct the mistake. I try to avoid it next time. Maybe I get mad at myself. And some people also said things like, oh, if I made a mistake, then I try again immediately. With criticism, again, some people said they would apologize. Some people said they want to listen intently. They want to understand what the criticism is about. Some people basically recognize that they have a reflex, namely, if I get criticized, then I usually defend myself. So I would like to listen instead of defending myself. They wanted to differentiate between criticism that is justified and criticism that is not, or maybe criticism that is personal and criticism that is fact-oriented, just to get a feeling for how they can use the criticism to get better. And we also had things like, if I get criticized, then I just feel bad. Natural feeling, I think. And then about the feeling of failure with something that you tried, the responses were something like, I try again, I change something and try again, I go and try to find the mistake, the bug, what's going wrong, what do I need to modify. We also had responses like, if I fail at something, then I try something else, which is also interesting. If I fail at something, then I wonder why I failed. I try to learn from the experience for next time. I think that was it. So now we can come to the definitions that people gave for failure and that were sometimes rooted in the things that we learned from completing the sentences. So let's see. Actually, there were quite a few variations on a joint theme, namely, failure means not fulfilling expectations. That was a theme that quite a few people had woven in their definition, and then there were slightly different angles. So sometimes it was, I fail if I don't live up to my own expectations, but it could also be, I fail if I don't fulfill someone else's expectations, or maybe it's both of them or a mixture. I fail if I'm not good enough. I fail if I don't work hard enough, if I didn't try everything I should have tried. It could also be, I fail if I don't live up to how I think I should live my life. So it could be about an ethical inner, what should I call it? It's like an inner compass that is based in ethics. How should I lead my life? And if I don't lead it that way, so if I compromise what I think is right, then already this is failure. So this is very general. It could also be, I fail if I work towards something and don't achieve it, even though I tried everything. It could also be, I fail if I didn't try everything. It could be, I failed if I'm not happy with the outcome. It could be, I fail if I don't manage to fulfill expectations, even if they are unrealistic. So that's a tough one, because how can you not fail if the expectations are unrealistic? But I think it's great. If people come up with a definition like this and they feel it's true for them, and then if they find out that there is a problem with this definition, that it means that they always fail, they are set up for failure, then the learning process can begin, because then we can question, where does this definition come from? Is there something going on that I'm not aware of, that is not rooted in myself, but is coming from somewhere else? And then we discussed, again, before a short break, I asked people, so how would life look like? What would life be if we never failed? What does it mean never to fail? Or how can you make sure, if you live your life, how can you make sure never to fail? What does it mean if you want to really avoid the experience of failure? Then we had a break and people talked about this a little bit and thought about it, and then we shared what we thought. And it was interesting because very quickly people agreed that never to fail means that basically you can't do anything. But then the associations were quite different. So if living means that failure is kind of built in, if experiences mean that somehow failure is built in, then it means that we always fail. And basically all the time. It can happen every day, several times. Big failures, small failures. And for some people this was quite comforting. It was like, okay, great. It happens to everyone all the time. It's not a big deal. It's fine. For other people it was a bit depressing. Like, what does it mean that I cannot even avoid it? It means I fail all the time. It means I have to feel bad all the time. And then after thinking a bit more, many of us felt that if we agree that living our life actively, making decisions, having choices, growing, learning, developing ourselves and others, if this means that there will be failures along the way, big ones and small ones, it's actually quite comforting and empowering, and it means that failure is just built in. It's just a matter of what we do with it. So it's built in, yes, maybe we find this depressing, that's okay, but it also means everyone has to cope with it. Maybe we do it in different ways, maybe some people show their failures and others don't, but basically it's part of our life, so let's just find a way to deal with it and maybe even use it to our advantage, which is the last part of the workshop. Dealing with failure, accepting the emotions that are attached to it, and then finding out what failure can teach us. So if I fall down, then I should better look and see what made me fall down. Maybe I was just being stupid and I fell over my own feet. Okay, that's fine. It can happen to everyone. But maybe there was an obstacle that I didn't see. Maybe I was not able to see it because someone put it there in the last moment. Or maybe I just didn't look carefully enough. Or maybe I could have walked around the obstacle and I just wasn't careful enough. So let's just check. If I fall down, what exactly is the reason? Could I have avoided it or not? And this is how the conversation started. So I focused on the definitions of failure that had to do with expectations and not fulfilling them, because this was really a big topic for many people. And we thought that we might start by just accepting that we have a feeling of failure and that emotions are attached to it. Let's name these emotions. So it could be something like frustrations and disappointment, maybe sadness, maybe anger. There were some other things as well. So you have your personal cocktail of feelings attached to an experience of failure. And I think that the first step should be to just acknowledge them. They are there anyway. So we can name them, maybe we can attach little labels to them in terms of, okay, the dominant feeling is this, and then there are also some others. Or maybe it's really a weird mixture and you can't really put your finger on what is most important. That's fine. Also, you will notice that some of these feelings are a bit more dominant for a longer time and others just fade away quite quickly. So experiment with how long you want to spend with just acknowledging your feelings and maybe analyzing them a little bit. And then decide whether you are already ready to move on, or whether maybe your emotions make you kind of feel stuck and you don't feel like you can already analyze the situation a bit more rationally. Maybe you have to sleep on it and come back the next day or a few days later. That's fine. But basically, we felt that we want to begin by what's going on? How do I feel? Where am I right now? So what exactly was the experience and how do I feel? And then the next step could be to sort things out a little bit. Okay, what exactly happened? How did I feel in every stage of the process? Where did my feelings change? Were there some triggers? Is there a pattern that I see? And then as you analyze the situation, you might find different aspects. For example, there might be things where you just had bad luck and there was not much you could do. Maybe you go back and you say, oh, there were some decisions that I made, and actually looking back, I think I should have decided differently. Okay, make a note for next time. Maybe you say, oh, yeah, there were some decisions that, looking back, were not very clever, but actually, I think I would do the same next time because that's just how I'm wired. Okay? Maybe there is something helpful in there that you don't see by yourself. Maybe you want to share this with another person and get their opinion on it, because sometimes your perceived failure has not been perceived as a failure by other people. Actually, we had a situation at the end of the workshop where someone shared an experience of failure, and many of us said, actually, to me, this doesn't even sound like failure. Maybe some of this is really just in your head. So sharing this with a different person can also change your perspective and make it more clear where your feeling of failure comes from and how justified it is, and where you can actually learn something from the experience. So the feelings that are often attached to an experience of failure are something like disappointment, maybe numbness, maybe a frozen feeling like you can't move, you don't know where to go. Like the, so in German we say Kaninchen vor der Schlange, so it would be the rabbit in front of the snake sitting there frozen. Oh my God. Frustration, maybe even aggression towards yourself or towards someone else, maybe someone who criticized you and therefore you felt bad and the experience felt like a failure. Maybe it's about blame. That's also interesting. Some people have the default to blame themselves if something goes wrong, even if it's not their fault. Other people have the default to blame others, even if they should be a little bit self-critical. So again, lots of things to think about. And once you have this analyze mode established and you understand the situation and you understand where your feelings come from and why things evolved in this way, then you can look for little bits for next time. So it could be something like, okay, I can see now that I should have spent a bit more time on this aspect of, let's say, my presentation that I was unhappy with. So next time I know, when I plan my preparation for the presentation, I need to put an extra hour or two on this aspect. Or maybe next time I have to be more prepared for questions that go in this direction that I didn't cover this time. Or, you know, things of that sort. So maybe you can find bits in there where you can actually learn something and improve, so that the next failure experience of this flavor is less likely. Maybe there will be something else going wrong. We don't know. As I said, failure is built in. There is not much we can do to avoid it completely. And then there was room for notes. So we shared our experiences with establishing rituals where we think and reflect. Then we had, as I said, this very specific situation someone shared where an experience of failure was very strong and very emotionally present even after days. So we talked about that a little bit, and I think as a group, we experienced how helpful it can be and how healing it can be just to talk about your experience, just to have others listen to it, maybe get some questions or some comments that might give you a different perspective on the situation. So thank you, everyone who was there. I think it was really magical how we listened and how you asked questions to each other and gave each other a different perspective and just a different way to look at the situation and evaluate it. I think it was very inspiring. It was one of my high points in the workshop. We also talked about how to deal with the feeling of possible failure beforehand, because it can also be kind of freezing and it can be difficult for some people to even make a decision and to move towards a new challenge just because they feel, there might be failure there somewhere and I could avoid it if I don't go in that way. Yes, that's true. If you are offered something exciting, if there is a new challenge somewhere at the horizon, and if you move in that direction, maybe there is a risk of failure and maybe you could avoid it by not going there. That's your decision. I had decisions of this kind quite a few times, in particular in the last few years where I have been on my established professor position and quite a few times I thought, ah, okay, this sounds really exciting, but I feel like I'm in over my head. It feels like too much. It feels overwhelming, and I'm really worried that I'm stretching out of my comfort zone too much. It's too risky. And then I just listen to my gut. And sometimes my gut says, okay, it's scary. It's scary, it's scary, it's scary. But it's also really, really, really exciting. And you will learn so much. And yes, there will be failure and you will not be up for everything. But you will learn a lot and you will have so much fun doing it. Just go for it. And then I'm scared, but I go for it. And I accept the failures along the way. Sometimes it's the other way around. And my gut says, no, don't do this. You are too much out of your comfort zone. And not only will you fail along the way, most likely, but there are also all these side effects and all these repercussions that maybe you're not thinking about enough. And then there is this big warning sign like, be careful, please think this through. And please make a risk assessment before you go there. Because maybe you misjudge the situation. So sometimes the warning signs are really big and really loud and in bright colors and neon and they blink. And then I sometimes move away from such a situation and I say, okay, that's exciting and it's a great offer. And yes, I can see how this would be really great, but, and then, yeah, what can I say? I have not regretted any of the decisions of this kind that I made in the last, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 years. So maybe I'm lucky that my gut feeling is quite good at assessing the situation. But this is also because I think about these things a lot and because I have already established for myself a mindset around failure that maybe makes it easier to listen to my intuition. I'm not sure. So I'm not really sure I can give advice on that. I will not, in fact. I shouldn't even try. Let me just close by saying that in this workshop, we went really deep. It was a deep dive into our emotions, our struggles, our expectations around how we should deal with failure and what we can maybe do differently. And the openness in the group was really great. We gave each other a lot of space. We had sometimes lots of things in common, but not always. And we gave each other room for all these different feelings and all the little threads. People reminded me in the end that there were one or two questions open still. So we took them up again and we discussed them a bit more until I felt that most threads had been followed. Hopefully, we did follow all of them. If not, then please continue the discussion amongst yourselves or maybe with other people. But you can also come back to me, of course, if you want. So if there's something that you're stuck on and you want to discuss it with someone or you want input from me, then please just feel free to contact me. Thank you so much for your openness, for sharing so much, for asking each other such great, insightful questions, for making us grow a little bit together today. Because this is, I think, one of the greatest outcomes of these workshops, also for me. No matter how much I already thought about the topics, in each workshop I get interesting new insights from the participants, also today. So thank you very much for this experience. I hope I can close with some music again. Let's see, can I find the music that I had in the beginning? Yes, I think I can. So I will play this to say goodbye. See you next time at the next workshop. And again, thank you so much for working with me on this quite complex topic of falling down and getting up again.